As we continue in our study in the book of Proverbs, the next proverb we're due to study is chapter 13, verse 15. Proverbs 13, verse 15. That proverb says, "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard." NIV words it this way, "Good understanding wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard." We see here that life is a journey. When we look not only at the end of this journey, but also at the way, we see that those who follow God have the advantage. The way of God is pleasant and agreeable. We're in harmony with the laws of the universe when we're in harmony with the laws of God. Good understanding gives us more favor with God and more favor with man. It gives us the best of both relationships. To increase in the wisdom of God is to increase in the favor of God. Those that conduct their life prudently and make their way of life right in everything they do, those that serve Christ in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, are accepted of God and approved of men. And that's according to Romans 14, verses 17 through 18. Those who are well understood and therefore well accepted will pass through this life in a much more comfortable manner. But the way of sinners is rough and uneasy. They are not in harmony with all the physical and spiritual laws of the universe. They are not only unpleasant to themselves, but they are also unpleasant to others. So he says here that the way of the transgressor is hard. They're contrary to God, being out of harmony with his laws. This adds a great burden to life. They're also out of harmony with other humans because they know not how to live with them as they should in love and respect. So not only is the way of sinners hard to others, but it's hard to the sinner himself. We can have little enjoyment in displeasing mankind as well as God. The road to hell is scattered with the thorns and thistles that are going hand in hand with the curse. Sinners never rise above the level of the curse because they never reach the level of the Spirit. We all live with the curse, but those of good understanding gain the favor of God in spite of the curse, while the transgressor has no relief from the hardness of the way. When we are tempted to sin, we should never forget the basic truth that the way of transgressors is hard. So let's read again, verse 15, our proverb, "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard." NIV, "Good understanding wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard." The next proverb, found in verse 16, "Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly." NIV says, "Every prudent man acts out of knowledge, but a fool exposes his folly." To be prudent is to be discreet and make good choices. In order to be prudent, one must act with knowledge, or deal with knowledge, as he says in his proverb. This means that you must not only use the knowledge that you have acquired, but you must also draw upon the knowledge of others. This requires actions that are based upon true facts. To have knowledge is to have the facts. So important decisions should be made only after giving careful thought to all the known facts affecting this decision. This means that you should act very carefully, or not at all, in those areas where you have little knowledge. You will not get involved in a business you're not acquainted with. You will not deal with those about whom you do not have some knowledge. This means that you will trust only in those who are trustworthy. This also teaches that you will not believe a religious doctrine that is not according to the facts of God's Word, nor give any testimony that you do not know to be truth. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, he says, deals with the facts. But a fool layeth open his folly. A fool is not acting out of knowledge, but is acting rashly or hastily. He does not have the facts needed to back up his decisions and actions. He cannot make intelligent decisions without knowledge. Thus, he is a fool. He is quick to talk of things he has no knowledge of and take duties and responsibilities for which he is not qualified. This sets the stage for failure. So he acts in such ways as to make himself ridiculous. In short, the one acts with knowledge, the fool makes his folly known to others, or he layeth open his folly. So this proverb says again, "Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly." NIV, "Every prudent man acts out of knowledge, but a fool exposes his folly." Our next proverb, verse 17, A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. NIV words it, a wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a trustworthy envoy brings healing. The word for messenger here, M-A-L-K-H, refers to someone who has been dispatched as a messenger, a deputy, or a herald. When God is doing the sending, it may be an angel, a prophet, a priest, or a teacher. The general sense is an ambassador representing someone who sent him. Such a person carried a message, or performed some other specific commission, or represented the sender in official negotiations. He could be a simple message bearer with good news, or threats, or requests, or he could be a spy, or he could kill. The Old Testament has many references to the angel of God or angel of Jehovah. He appeared to humans as the representative of God. And we have a reference to this angel in Genesis 16, 10 through 13, Judges 5, 23, 1 Kings 9, 35, Psalms 35, 5 through 6, Genesis 22, 11, Judges 13, 6 and 9, Zechariah 1, 12, 3, 1 through 5, etc. Mentioned in the Old Testament many times. He was God's mediator to humans, and he was, to the best of my understanding, the pre-incarnate Christ, and he continues as a mediator today. In 1 Timothy 2 and 5, For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The word wicked means bad, wrong, wicked, sinful, ungodly, and vicious. It is the very opposite to what is good. So here we have a proverb talking about a wicked messenger, a wicked angel, prophet, priest, or teacher. The proverb says he falleth into mischief. That is, he does something which is against God's will. His actions are just the opposite of what God wants. This can cause big trouble for any number of people. Think of the consequences if an angel were to act in this manner, who, after having been entrusted with a message from God to others, becomes wicked and does not deliver the message God wants delivered. Or the same could be true of a priest or a prophet or a teacher. Sometimes the fate of a whole nation of people depended on their following the message from God that had been received by the messenger. If he were a wicked messenger, then the message, so vital for life, would not be delivered or would be changed. What if Christ were to fail to be a faithful mediator for us today? Each of us is a messenger from God if we're faithful Christians. We have a message from God to give others, to our family, fellow Christians, our neighbors, or anyone we have the opportunity to contact. This applies to those who are not teachers in the church, as well as to those who are teachers. Are we faithful in our duty? Are we a wicked messenger? Or are we a faithful ambassador? Have we let down in our duty and inadvertently become a wicked messenger? If we omit the message, or take from the message, or add to the message, we become a wicked messenger. If we change the message anyway, this will cause something that God wants to be done to not be done. And we have fallen into mischief or into evil, as the proverb says. But a faithful ambassador is health, he says. The word health means medicine, cure, or remedy. A faithful ambassador is the right medicine for the disease. A faithful ambassador is the cure for the disease. A faithful ambassador is the remedy for the problem. A faithful ambassador means the message was delivered from the one who sent him. He or she has presented the case for God. The faithful ambassador is trying to get others to accept and agree to the message he or she has been sent to deliver. In the case of nations, a faithful ambassador may prevent a terrible war among nations and save the lives and property of millions of people. Or they may make an agreement to free prisoners or increase trade or to ease travel restrictions that could help countless people. Much of the faithful ambassador's work is unseen. The work may be in long sessions behind closed doors. The ambassador's message may have rejections and criticisms which the public never hears about, but the ambassador remains faithful to the one who sent him. When the ambassador is successful, this brings health to those who receive the message, as well as health to the ambassador himself. Let each of us be a faithful ambassador of God and Jesus Christ. When we fail as the faithful ambassador of the Lord, we're putting people's souls at risk. So we read again, verse 17, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. NIV, a wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a trustworthy envoy brings healing. Our next proverb, verse 18, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. NIV words it, he who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. The word for instruction includes the idea of correction or discipline. So if a person is at fault or in error, and he refuses to receive information that would cause him to change from wrong to right, the result will be shame and poverty. Not only would he be looked upon as unwise and foolish, which is shame, but he will also lose money and property, which is poverty. He may refuse to be instructed because of pride, or it may be due to his loving the temporary pleasure of sin, but the results are the same, regardless of the cause of his refusal or instruction. Shame and poverty, neither of these is a desirable state. None of us want to be in a state of shame or a state of poverty. Yet, that is the result of refusing to be corrected when you're in error. But he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Reproof means to be criticized for a fault or to be scolded. This person regarded reproof. Regard means to keep or to attend to or to take heed of or to protect. This person will pay attention to the criticism given him, and he will make use of it in correcting whatever his fault may be. The result is honor. The word here carries the idea of wealth and glory, just the opposite of poverty and shame. So, even though criticism may be a hard pill to swallow, and may be easy to shrug off and pretend that it does not apply, yet when we pay attention to it and use it for our benefit by making a proper correction, the criticism may be of great value to us. It can be used to gain glory and wealth, whereas to be proud and ignore criticism or instruction leads to poverty and shame. Here is a valuable tool which we can all use if we but put our mind to it. Criticism is going to come. The proper thing to do is to pay attention to it, determine if it is really a valid assessment of our situation, and then make a correction if such is truly called for. This instruction he mentions here is most valuable when it comes from God's Word. God's Word is truly the basic source of all the instruction that we need to really be acceptable to God. So we read the proverb again, verse 18, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. NIV, he who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. The next proverb is in verse 19. It's worded this way, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. NIV words it this way, a longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but fools detest turning from evil. Humans desire to have happiness, but the only way to accomplish this desire is to obey God. To obey God is to depart from evil. Then and only then will God allow you to be truly happy. Then is the desire accomplished. And the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. But fools do not want to obey God. It is very distasteful. It's an abomination for them to depart from evil. Since they will not depart from evil, this means they will not obey God. Consequently, they never accomplish their desire to be happy. They cannot experience the state of happiness which is sweet to the soul. Truly, one is a fool who finds departing from evil to be an abomination. Only a fool would find it unpleasant to obey God. Yet the very thing he finds to be unpleasant actually robs him of all true pleasure. What we think to be unpleasant when we're acting the fool is actually a mindset which can be easily changed when we learn the truth of the gospel and apply the great principles of God to our lives. So let's read the proverb again. Verse 19, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it's abomination to fools to depart from evil. NIV, a longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but fools detest turning from evil. Verse 20, the next proverb. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. NIV, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. This proverb shows the power that association with others has on shaping our character. Those that would be good must keep good company. To choose to keep good company shows that a person wants to be good. To choose to keep bad company shows that a person wants to be bad. We choose the company we keep in most cases. When we choose the association with certain persons, then we're telling the world that we want to be like them. Good company becomes a means of making us good, showing us the way to be good, and encouraging us to walk in the right way. He that would be wise must walk with them that are so. He must choose the wise to be his closest acquaintance and converse with them often. He must ask and receive instruction from them. He must converse with them about godly matters and things profitable to life. But to keep company with fools has the opposite effect. Our proverb says a companion of fools shall be destroyed. He'll become like the fools, which is to become a fool. When you choose the wicked to associate with, you choose to be wicked. The result is to be destroyed. It'll be your character in this life, but it'll be your soul in the next life. You will be denied the great blessings and luxuries of heaven. So, in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. NIV words it this way, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good manners. And that's just what this proverb is saying. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. NIV says, but he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Verse 21, our next proverb, evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. NIV, misfortune pursues the sinner, but prosperity is the reward of the righteous. This proverb shows that the destruction of sinners is unavoidable. The wrath of God pursues them with all the terrors of that wrath. In the Old Testament, the avenger of blood pursued the manslayer, but he had a city of refuge to flee to. But the sinner is pursued by evil, and he has no city of refuge to flee to as long as he is a sinner in a lost condition. He may attempt to escape, but it's in vain. Those whom God pursues cannot escape. There is no escape for a sinner to elude the judgment and wrath of God. They may prosper for a while and feel somewhat secure, but their damnation will be sure. But the saints shall have good. The righteous are to have good repaid. They are as sure to have good as the sinner is to have evil. They will be abundantly repaid for all the good they have done and for all the ill they suffered in this world. So that which may have been thought to be lost as they followed righteousness will be kept because of their righteousness. Though the reward may not come quickly, it will come surely in the day when the great judge recompenses to all what he has promised to each one, whether good or bad. At the time of retribution, it will be an abundant reward. So our proverb says again, evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good will be repaid. NIV, misfortune pursues the sinner, but prosperity is the reward of the righteous. The next proverb is verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. NIV words it, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. This proverb shows how the attitude of good people makes their estates last. A good man takes thought for his children and their children. He does not unnecessarily consume all of his wealth on himself, but he uses careful management of his wealth to conserve it. A good person will also follow God's laws of prosperity. One of the things that he does is to engage in gainful, godly employment. According to 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12, and that you study to be quiet, do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, that you may have lack of nothing. 2 Thessalonians 3, 10 through 12. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some among you which walk disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Another thing that a good person does to follow God's laws of prosperity is to contribute part of the income to God's work. Notice the instruction of Paul to the Corinthians concerning the collection for the poor saints at Jerusalem. Upon the first day of the week, let one of you, every one of you, lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, and there be no gatherings when I come. So the second part of God's law of prosperity is to give. We give to the work of the Lord by giving to the church, and we also give to others. This is free will giving. There's no set amount for us to have to give. And the third part of this great principle of God's law of prosperity is that we have godliness with contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy 6, 6-8, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for it brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us be there with content. So this person who's going to lay up the inheritance follows the great principle of God's laws of prosperity. He works, he contributes to others, and he is content with godliness. We must close our lesson at that point. We'll continue this proverb in our next lesson. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.